open your window now or I'm gonna bust it out.
I'm asking you for your supervisor.
So what do you do when you're trying to assert your rights and the police officer loses his mind, hurts your vehicle, arrests you, which is actually kidnapping when you're asserting your rights? What do you do? How do you handle this? That's what this video is about.
And flip me off!
All right, Zabina, I'm sorry.
All right?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So you think you are worried about what I'm doing?
You're right.
I know I'm right. Everyone's got something to say. Mind your own business. You're speeding. How about I start with that?
So the big thing to remember here is these police officers, not only do they not have power over you, but they're just normal people like me and like you. Okay, so that means they can freak out. Maybe he's having a bad day, a police officer pulling you over. Maybe they're really upset that day, and you never know if they're going to be unstable. So when you're participating in these quote-unquote audits, or you're asserting your rights, you never know what's going to happen, what kind of officer you're going to get. That's why it's very important for you to always be polite, always be calm, always be considerate, and never say the wrong words. You need to treat every encounter like it's going to be a lawsuit, because that's exactly what it's going to be. Potentially, if they hurt your vehicle, if they hurt you, if they kidnap you, these are all mental distress, physical damage. You can get money from this, okay? It's not about getting money, it's about getting justice for having your rights violated. Now, the people who don't know their rights, they get nothing, and they have to listen to what the police say. When you put in the work to understand what your rights are and how they were given to you by God and they cannot be taken away for any reason, you will cut through them like butter. Even though these police officers may not understand the bigger picture, okay? Even though the lieutenants or the supervisors may or may not know the full extent of this picture, it doesn't matter. What matters is what you do after the encounter. Now let's look at the first encounter here.
Sir, let me see your driver's license proof.
As a man, I'm asking you as a man, what right do you have to stop another man?
The state of Texas has given me the right to enforce the law.
Enforce the
speeding,
law?
You were doing 50 in a 40 mile an hour speed zone.
I'm speeding. Did you realize in the state of Texas that speeding in and of itself is not illegal?
Okay, sir, let me see your driver's license and proof of insurance, please.
Sir,
the same thing. I need you to stand down and get your...
Open your window now or I'm going to bust it out.
Okay, I need you to call and I need you to get your supervisor out here. I need your supervisor out here. I need your supervisor. I am asking you for your supervisor. Okay, officer, I'm asking you for your supervisor to come out here. Now you have busted my vehicle up, and now you are going to detain me. You are illegally getting into my vehicle.
Okay, so there's multiple things to say here. So number one, he kept his cool. He asked for a supervisor. They bypassed that. He did not listen. That's a pretty big deal. The next thing is, at the end of it, he took his phone out of his hand. That's also a pretty big deal. And then obviously he smashed his window. That's a huge deal. And then he kidnaps him. That's a pretty big deal. Now, to somebody who doesn't know their rights, there's pretty much nothing you can do about this. You're arrested because you weren't following orders. Now, for somebody asserting their rights, it's absolutely completely different. He could have done a few things differently. I personally would have said, before you go forward, I'm just going to put you on notice and let you know that you're going to be held in your individual capacity. I won't be suing the entire precinct because it's you who is not listening to what you have been taught. It is you who is not listening to the chain of command. It is you who is not following your own protocol and procedure. Therefore, you are going to be held responsible for your actions. And this is all on tape. And that should take him down a few notches. If it doesn't, it may get him even more mad. Just know that all of this is being recorded and it's evidence. All of this will add up to a big dollar amount if you know your rights and you play your cards right. So what do you do after this happens, after you get arrested, after you get released? After you get processed and released, it's pretty simple. You just go back and you start on your letter. This is an example of a letter right here. So when you're arrested, you're going to get a piece of paper. You're going to have to sign it. When you do sign it, make sure you sign it under duress. Go look at the past and previous videos on Secret Civics, the driving videos, and you'll see you have to sign 1-308 and then UD. And that's just in the Uniform Commercial Code. It's signing under duress while reserving your rights. It's pretty important when you sign for this thing, because that'll prove to them that you're asserting your rights and you know what you're doing. So when you write them this letter, it's pretty simple. You give them three options, right? There will be an address on the piece of paper you get, and that's who you send this letter to. You give them option one, which is a bill of particulars, which is another way of saying you want to know some information and they have to give you the information. And if not, they have some other options. So the first option is they have to prove that they have jurisdiction over the living flesh, the human being, or myself. And then two, they need evidence supporting any contractual obligation or agreement that binds the human being to the policies and statutes that you claim have been violated. Okay, so they have to prove that you contracted with these people. And even if they proved that you contracted with them, then that would prove that the whole thing was a whole contract law and it wasn't actually a statute and a right that you had to contract with them. So they won't even answer this anyway. The last question is, provide any documentation or information you believe is pertinent to your claim of authority over the human being, sir or king. That's option one for them. Option two is dismiss all charges, right? In the absence of a timely response to option one, I request an immediate dismissal of all charges against me, in which I waive my rights to request fees or penalties for my time. So that's just basically saying that I don't want any money from you. If you choose option two, you can dismiss the charges. We'll just call it done. Option three is saying basically, okay, if you're not going to do option one or option two, we want jury trial right away. That's something you have to do if you're asserting your rights. You have to go right to jury trial. That's your right to a speedy trial by jury. Go for jury trial because it's intimidating for them and they're not going to want to put the resources into getting jury for something they know they are going to lose. And you're also saying that if they do choose option three, then they should see this letter as an attempt at administrative remedy. So all that's saying is, hey, listen, this letter is me trying to get you to stop what you're doing. And if you don't stop what you're doing, then that's going to give me grounds to be able to sue you. Because in order to sue somebody, you have to try to remedy the situation first. You have to attempt administrative, which is just through the mail or through communication, administrative remedy, right? After you attempt the remedy and they don't say anything to you, then you can sue them. So this is basically saying they can either prove that they have authority over you, which they can't, or they can dismiss the charges, which that's their best bet, or three, let's go, it's up to you. And then down here it says they have 30 days to respond, and this is all worded in a tort law agreement, which says that if they don't respond within 30 days, then we choose the option for them, and that's the way it is. Because once they get it, you send it certified mail and they sign for it, the clock starts ticking then. Now, what do you do if you were damaged or your vehicle was damaged by the police? So underneath option two, where it says that you don't need damages, you would just put in there, you would assert your rights and say, option two, pay for this, this, and this. Now, just keep in mind, the more details you have, the officer's name, badge number, every single detail matters, what time it happened, down to the second. Now again, it's not going to break your case if you don't have the seconds of when it happened, but the more details you have, the more intimidating it is. And it's all about intimidation because the prosecutors or the legal people representing those people are going to say, listen, we don't have a chance against this. This cuts through us like butter. Let's just let this go. We really don't have a choice. That's basically how it goes. So if you get damaged, you can get remedy, is what they call it, for the amount of damage that they caused you. Now, if you want more information on that, you're going to want to see the 4 or 5 hour video that Carl Miller did, and you can see that at secretcivics.com all the way at the end under the advanced section. So this is a letter to the officer. So next time you get pulled over, say, I do not consent, I don't answer questions, hand them this piece of paper. It'll give them all the information they need to know. You won't trip yourself up, you don't need to say anything, and you won't accidentally give them jurisdiction. This is just explaining to them how you have the right to travel, how what you're doing is not driving, and how you don't participate. You're formally saying that you don't consent, and you're also showing them that this is an administrative complaint notice, and it's going to be exhibit number one in the lawsuit. So this is very intimidating, right? To anybody who doesn't know what's going on, or even if they do, it should be even more intimidating. And you're basically just explaining that this letter is evidence, and then you're giving them a suggestion asserting your rights. I highly suggest you go to your vehicle, radio your supervisor, read them this letter, yada, yada, yada. They're going to know that you're not worth the trouble, and if they want a step, this is a perfect piece of evidence to show them that you tried to articulate your rights and they still violated them. You even gave them case law. So let's get into some other examples here.
Under force, threat, and arrest, I will show you my license.
I tell you what, driver's license, I'm going to break your window.
You're going to break my window right now?
Yes. Then you're going to go to jail.
Okay. Under force.
What's your name?
I'm not entitled to give it unless I'm being suspected of a crime. If you have RAS, reasonable articulable suspicion, committing a crime, about to commit a crime, or have committed a crime, and that's when I caused loss, injury, or harm to another, that would be a crime. I'm not in the capacity of transportation. I'm not a driver. I'm not part of the legal society that you all operate under. With all due respect, I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I'm just flexing my rights. I know I have the right to travel. I will stand on my rights at all times. I don't ever waive my right.
All right, sir, can I see your driver's license, please?
I am not going to offer any information that can and will be used against me in the court of law. I'm not going to give you something to hold against me in court.
The law provides that you do have to identify yourself.
If I'm in the act of commerce, sir.
No,
that's
not the case. Under force, threatened arrest, I will show you my license.
So what happened here? He did an absolutely amazing job asserting his rights until the end. You need to be 100% prepared for this to happen, because when it happens, you can't just give up your rights all of a sudden. You can't just freak out. You have to stay calm. You have to remember that this is being recorded, and the more calm you are, the more they look like they're psychopaths. So be prepared for the worst, always. Whenever you're driving a vehicle participating in this method, you have to be 100% prepared to have the crap beat out of you potentially. That's the rarest thing, and it's probably never going to happen, but be prepared for it. That way you're not surprised, you don't freak out, you don't lose your cool, you don't just waive your rights at the end. So the point is, this was a really good interaction until the end. These cops, some of these guys just have such an ego, they don't really care. They think they are the overall authority to everything. They even when they're off duty, they just walk with this chip. Some of these officers, that's the way it is when that happens. This is what you're going to get. Let's look at another example.
I don't want the window down no more, sir. You might shoot me or something. I don't understand what's the problem. Can you call your supervisor?
No. Why not? Get out of the car right now.
No. I don't want to get out of the car. I'm scared.
What, I really don't understand why.
I'm afraid of what's out in the media about police. I'm very afraid of you.
That doesn't make any sense.
Tell me why you stopped my vehicle.
I'm not opening my door for him either.
Right. Yeah, why is it?
I'm gonna be very clear with you, sir. No. You can either roll down your window all the way or hop out of the car.
I'm afraid for my life.
See, they're surrounding us.
Yeah, you're surrounding a car. I'm afraid for my life.
Do you like having a window right here?
Why are you threatening me?
Because I'm going to break out your window and pull you out of this car.
For what?
You're not... I don't know why you're being difficult.
What's the problem?
Simple traffic stop.
For what? I'm asking, what's the reason?
Get out of the car.
I'm scared to get out of the car.
Exit the vehicle now.
I'm afraid. Call 911.
I'm going to break this window open if you don't get out of the
car. Why do you want to break the window open? Damn, he broke the window out the
door. Yeah, sure did. Move your leg.
Call.
Move your leg.
Just the mom and Tom,
I don't got the number.
Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Why are you touching
him? That's what I'm thinking. He broke the window out the car.
You're under arrest. Get out of there. Excuse me,
sir. Excuse me, sir. Take my phone, babe.
I can't.
So I can tell you right now for free, this guy did not know his rights, and he has no business resisting anything at any point in time. This guy clearly just doesn't know what to do. He never asserted his rights at any point in time. He never said he didn't want to answer questions. He never said he didn't consent. At no point in time did he assert his rights. And a really good thing to see here, when you say you're scared, that's the opposite of asserting your rights. They don't care if you're scared. In fact, you may even wake them up and spark them to get even more violent with you. Let's look at another example.
I am about to face, I believe it's a Carmel cop.
Maldonado?
Yes. I just need your license, the registration, and the insurance.
Okay, if I present you with any papers, can they be used against me in a court of law?
So, I need your driver's license, your registration, and insurance.
Okay. If I present you with any papers, are they going to be used against me in a court of law?
So, I'm not going to do this back and forth with you. I need your driver's license, registration, insurance. If you do not provide that, I'm going to remove you from the car. You will be arrested, and I'm going to the car.
Okay, then if I'm going to answer any questions...
California.
Okay, if there are any questions,
which is, this is a lawful traffic stop, you need to present your driver's license, your registration, and your insurance. That's all I need from you.
Okay, if I'm going to answer any questions or present any papers
to you,
I want an attorney.
I don't need you to say anything.
I'd like an attorney.
So this is another example of somebody who's almost there, but not quite. You never want to say you want an attorney or you want any representation, because when you say that, you're basically saying to the courts when they see this evidence that you don't know your rights. So all you have to do is look at these people in their face and say, I don't answer questions and I don't consent. If they continue to pick and prod, you then notify them, I'm going to hold you in your individual capacity, not the police office. I'm going to hold you in your individual capacity for violating my rights if you continue this. If they still continue or they harass you, then you ask for a supervisor. You say, clearly, if you don't understand what I'm saying to you, we need a supervisor on scene right now, or a lieutenant. It's the same thing. Based on everything they do after that, you're boxing them into a legal corner, or a constitutional corner, if you don't like the word legal, because I don't. So never say okay, never say, well, if I do this, or you don't even speak to them like that. This is a human being that's attempting to have jurisdiction over you, to take your freedom and rob you and extort you. You don't ever want to participate in a conversation with these people, because they are trained, without even them knowing, to get you to agree to the contractual verbal agreement, the tacit agreement, on the scene, on the spot. I understand some people like to talk to them to make a good video, but a really good video is an example of exactly what to do. I don't answer questions. I don't consent. And whatever they do after that, they're violating your rights and you're taking evidence of it.
You don't need an attorney.
If I'm going to present any papers or answer any questions, I'd like an attorney.
Okay.
So I can wait, or you want to get your supervisor here, please.
Okay, so once again, I just need your license, registration, insurance. That's all I need.
I'd like your supervisor, please.
Do you not have a license?
I would like your supervisor, please.
Okay. So that's not how this works.
It is how this works.
Step out of the vehicle.
Okay, all right, I'll step out of the vehicle in 1 second. I just want to make sure that I understand what's happening, okay?
She basically just said, okay, hold on a second. I just want to give you jurisdiction over me. That's what she just said. Now listen to what she said again. She said she stands under him, which gives him jurisdiction. He doesn't even know this. She doesn't know this, but the court knows this.
Okay. All right. I'll step out of the vehicle in 1 second. I just want to make sure that I understand what's happening. Okay. If I do not violate my 4th and 5th Amendment rights, then you are going to confine me. Is that correct?
So look up Pennsylvania versus Mims.
I know that requires me to get out of the vehicle. I got that, and I will do that.
As soon as you say, yes, I will do that, or as soon as you listen to any request or answer any question, you are contracting with them and giving them jurisdiction over you, okay? That's what people don't understand. And a really big point to make here is the argument they're having about case law, talking about different cases and what the Supreme Court said. What you don't understand is there are levels on fighting these things. A lot of people love to play with statutes. That's what like audit the audit is. They bring up statutes and talk about the different law. But once you get to a certain level and you understand how this works and why the Bible is connected to the law and why you swear on the Bible and what God has to do with any of this, once you understand how it works, you understand that the God, the divine light of God, metaphorically in this case, the rights come from God. So you have a direct line to those rights as soon as you assert them. That's what a lot of people don't understand.
The country was founded on common law because the Declaration only refers to God 4 times. The Constitution doesn't refer to God at all. And it only articulates the structure of government.
So first of all, remember that we were a collection of states and colonies. And you need to read the state constitutions before anything else. 13 out of 13 required a declaration of faith. 9 out of 13 required you to be a Protestant, except Maryland, which was Catholic, which still required a declaration of faith. Every single one of the original state constitutions, Pennsylvania included, they had, I profess Lord and Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in the original state constitutions. Secondly, 55 out of 56 of the original signers of the declaration were Bible-believing, church-attending Christians. You asked about common law. So common law is inherited from Blackstone, who was Christian. A common law is an outgrowth of the scriptures. So let's go to 3 principles of common law. Presumption of innocence, due process, and jury of your peers. All 3 are biblical principles. So, and all wrapped into the ultimate biblical principle that you shall not favor justice if you are rich or poor, which is in Leviticus 19, right before the most famous part of Leviticus 19, which is that you should love your neighbor as yourself. But before that is that in the administration of justice, you shall not favor the rich or the poor, which is the idea of blind justice. We get that in the West, which is incorporated also in the New Testament ideal. Neither slave nor Greek nor Jew. You're all one in Jesus Christ. So you get the idea of human equality. These are all biblical ideas. They're not Enlightenment ideas. But more importantly than that, they say that God was only mentioned 4 times in the Declaration of Independence. Well, that's a big deal. Okay. Laws of nature and nature's God. The last paragraph of the Declaration reads as a prayer. It says, we appeal to the supreme judge of the universe. Who's the judge of the universe? Jesus Christ. It says in Revelation that Jesus will judge the earth on his throne. So in the declaration, they were praying to Christ our Lord as a prayer very specifically. Thirdly, as I said on stage yesterday, Deuteronomy was by far the most quoted book, religious or non-religious, in the time of the founding when they were putting together the Constitution, more than John Locke, more than Montesquieu, more than Blackstone. So the book of Deuteronomy, which talked about laws, customs, traditions, it was Moses' farewell address as he's, you know, about to say goodbye, say, hey, good luck in Canaan, guys. Here's how you should set up your form of government. But finally, and most importantly, let's look at actually what the founders said. John Adams famously said the Constitution was only written for a moral and religious people. It was wholly inadequate for the people of any other. The body politic of America was so Christian and was so Protestant that our form and structure of government was built for the people that believed in Christ our Lord. One of the reasons we're living through a constitutional crisis is that we no longer have a Christian nation, but we have a Christian form of government, and they're incompatible. So you cannot have liberty if you do not have a Christian population.
You don't need to play the jargon. All you have to do is tell them that you don't consent, tell them that you don't answer questions, and then if you serve them a notice right there on the spot, that's your attempt at administrative remedy. You're saying, in this situation right here, here's your official notice that you need to stop what you're doing pending you causing me damage. You're harassing me at this point. And all of it's being recorded by both of you. They are making a huge mistake, and this will teach them as much as it's going to teach you. So ignore the statutes. Supreme Court cases are not end-all, say-all, because you can set a new precedent with a new Supreme Court case, and Supreme Court cases are overturned all the time. So Supreme Court cases are probably one of the best representations of how hard it's going to be to win a case, how hard it's going to be to get away with your right. And that's a terrible way to put it, because you're not getting away with your right. You're asserting your right, and the rights never go anywhere. They're always there. You just have to remember or realize or know that they're there. That's the way this works. So each interaction with each police officer is always going to be different, but the end will always be the same. Because at the end of the day, all it is a corporation, and these are just their policy enforcers. That's why their name is police or peace officer. And they call them peace officers because it's the reverse of war, which is weapons, because they're going to confiscate the weapons. And they do confiscate weapons all of the time, which is completely unconstitutional, but it's legal because people don't assert their rights. Basically, what you're doing here, you're not defending yourself. You're letting them trample all over you, recording it, and then after, you're prosecuting them. You're pressing charges through a formal complaint, pro se, without a lawyer, asserting your rights. I know this is complicated. Go to secretcivics.com. I explain it so much better.
I do not know why you want to do that.
Because those are my rights. Those are my rights. And I'm invoking my rights, and you're forcing me to violate my rights, or you will take me, or you will take me to jail. Is that correct?
I'm going to take you to jail for not providing the
rights. Okay, all right, as long as I had you guys say that on camera. All right, so I'm going to get those papers, and I'll present them to you under duress, okay?
I don't know how you're under duress. I've been polite and cordial with you.
Now, she's under duress because he has a weapon on his hip, and he has a whole backup gang. Okay, that can come and help him if he needs it. So that's under duress. If you don't listen to them, they're going to either shoot you if you fight, tase you, or they're going to arrest you and cuff you. That's under duress. Because if you don't listen to them, if you want to just leave and go home, you can't. That's under duress. It reminds me of like those old westerns where it's like a whole gang of thieves. And usually the leader of the gang is a little more refined than the rest. And he's polite. And they'll kidnap a female in the movie, and he'll be so polite to her. As soon as she doesn't listen or tries to get away, you see his true colors. These people are a gang. They may not even know it, and they may join for good reasons and be good people, but these people are a gang.
It's your driver's license. That's all I'm missing. This is expired as of 2021.
Remain silent. I can get out of the car. Yes, I can.
If you want to remain out of the car, can you just sit right there or stand on the sidewalk?
I'm going to stand right...
Well, you're not the registered owner of the vehicle.
Okay.
This time I'm going to give you a warning since you're not the registered owner.
just give me the papers.
I can't give you a ticket for the car that's not yours. You know what I mean?
I'm just getting a warning, am I?
If I see you driving...
Just getting a warning?
What? You're not the registered owner of the vehicle, so I cannot cite you for expired.
So first of all, I love her courage. That's awesome she has the balls to get out of the car. That's great. But not a smart idea, necessarily. I mean, it's great for the video. That's awesome. I mean, if you're trying to get content and get people to get aware and wake people up, that part's awesome. But if you're just doing that in general, just to do it, not a smart idea. But I do love her courage. That's awesome. The issue here is she's trying to flex on them, and that's when these people have inherent ego and can freak out at any point in time, that's not a good idea. So these people who like to flex their rights on them, yes, it's good video and it's good for awareness, but it's not a good idea for you. It's not safe. So just be more polite, represent our cause a little better, and the more mean you are when you sue them, the more of an example and the more proof you're going to create. And when he says that he can't give her a ticket because it's not registered in her name, that's complete BS. I think we've all seen either us or somebody that we know maybe have used our vehicle or you've heard about it. You can absolutely get a ticket if something is not registered or insured. When you take your driver's license and you participate in waiving your rights, you learn that it's your responsibility for everybody in the car and the vehicle to all be on point. You will get the ticket, and they absolutely can write you a ticket. So this is further proof that this nice Asian, I thought this was a good guy, but clearly he knows what he's doing. He's very smart. They're letting them off with still maintaining their authority. And if you've seen any other of my videos, this is what they do every time because they know they're being recorded. I guess they're trained to cover their tracks if they get exposed, right? So they always try to say, well, you don't know what you're doing, or here's your excuse, you can go. I'm not going to write you a ticket. They're liars and they're connivers. And just keep in mind, most of them are actually Freemasons. And that may be a little too deep for most of you, but if you want to know more, check out thedisclosurehub.com. Occult Cat is a really good series if you want to explore different avenues and understand the Freemasons, the government. SecretCivics.com is the more legal side, a little bit more dry, but I kept it as saucy as possible for you. If you want to understand all of these things, take some time. And instead of watching Netflix or renting a movie or having a couple beers with the boys, stay inside, take a night, and check out some of this information. And be open to it. I basically am using my entire life and not charging anybody anything to give them this information so they can comprehend it. Join the army of God and simply assert your rights, no violence, all love, and expose with purity, truth, and divinity. I'm GK with the Disclosure Hub. Check out secretcivics.com.
I tell you, if you are not a conspiracy theorist by now, it's because you are not intelligent.
It is a stable of so-called conspiracy theories that the highest levels of politics and finance, there is a shadowy cabal of pedophiles who use their power to hide the crimes they commit against children.
Because pedophiles are the easiest people to blackmail.
It's a whole different country from what we thought it was.
It's all fake.
You need to unlearn everything you have learned about JFK's assassination. You need to unlearn everything that you have learned about MLK's assassination. You need to unlearn everything that you were taught about 9/11, everything that you think you know about the Vietnam War, World War II. The truth is that the government is evil and that the government is worse than evil. I want to be clear. The government is satanic. These Satanists conspired to remove God out of your life. You believe you're an atheist. There's no such thing as an atheist.
You just are not aware of what it is that you are worshiping.
Some people don't want to deal with that. They don't want to deal with the reality of how evil our institutions are. But guess what? The time for fear is over. You have to face this reality because it's the only way that we're going to be able to move forward. You have to confront evil.
There is a whole world that we can't see that acts on people, the supernatural world that's acting on us all the time for good and bad. Every society has thought this before ours. In fact, every society in all recorded history has thought that until, I'll be specific, August 1945, when we dropped the atom bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and all of a sudden the West is just officially secular. We're God. There is no God but us. And that's the world that we have grown up in, but that's an anomaly. Like, no one else has ever thought that. There's never been a society that thought that. Every other society has assumed, and they've had all kinds of different explanations, and the details differ, but the core idea does not differ, never has differed from caves until now, that we're being acted on by spiritual forces at all times.
That is a reality. The people who understood this all the way leading up to World War II, since the dawn of humanity, they understood this. They knew God was real, they knew the devil was real, and then something happened after World War II. Yeah, I'll tell you what happened. Psychological tactics happened. Well, don't be a conspiracy theorist, guys. No, actually, be a conspiracy theorist, because the conspiracy theorists are telling you the truth. What they are trying to tell you is that common sense is a conspiracy now. Things are growing more sinister because they're losing control. More people are starting to wake up. More people are starting to realize that all the things that they believed to be conspiracy theories in the past are in fact true. We are fighting real evil in this country. We're fighting real evil all over the world. And so the media is doing everything desperate to maintain control and to maintain order. And in their desperation, they are growing increasingly more violent, increasingly more sinister, increasingly more psychopathic. You guys, you need to wake up. You want people to turn away from me. Don't listen to Candace Owens. She's a conspiracy theorist. She's dumb. She believes in flat earth. They're calling me stupid all the time. She's a Holocaust denier. What is it that I'm actually doing? I'm reporting on real history outside of a textbook. You're looking around and realizing that actual people who worshipped Satan, they believed that they were the beasts in Revelation, in the Bible, the whore of Babylon. They sought to establish that, to establish America as the whore of Babylon. What did they establish? They said NASA, the Apollo program. We couldn't believe it. I mean, we sat here in this control. We were going, this can't be real. What do you mean this is the origins of NASA? These people worship Satan. So if you don't believe in God, let me tell you guys something. The people you're fighting sure do. They sure do. And they pick their side. They are fully committed Satanists that we are fighting. This is not hyperbole. You just have to have the courage to look into real history. They began investing in understanding that they could create mass psychoses. They could quite literally lead people not to believe their own eyes. Wake up. If you are still asleep at the wheel, wake up. It is hard. I get it. I had to go through it. I get it. When you realize that everything you were told was a lie, when you realize that you were just a severely propagandized individual from the moment that you stepped into the public school system, it is a hard reckoning to go through. You suffer through periods of cognitive dissonance. You're not crazy. This is the reality. We are fighting real evil. Do you guys understand what's going on right now? Do you understand what is happening in this country? Spiritual forces, as in when you are listening to music, they understand it is impacting your soul. So if you don't believe you have a soul, it's problematic. Your eyes and your ears are the windows to your soul. They understand that. They don't want you going to church because they have you attending their church every day in the form of public education. Following the assassination of JFK, the CIA said, okay, we need to start paying journalists to repeat our talking points. Now, why would they do that if they didn't kill JFK? Why would they be employing journalists? Why would our deep state begin employing journalists to repeat talking points? Why would they suddenly enter the term conspiracy theory into the lexicon? It never existed prior. Never called people conspiracy theorists before the 60s. Suddenly, the media was saying it every single day. If you don't believe what we're selling you, you're a conspiracy theorist. They also understand that if you keep repeating something, it eventually becomes true to people. They understand that that works, that people can be psychologically conditioned to believe anything if you just say it enough times. They don't believe their own eyes and their own experiences. That is the power of psychology. I don't care if I'm called a conspiracy theorist. I literally wear that as a badge of honor because we keep being proven right. It is a battle for your soul.
Not everybody can be a robot polisher.
I have now untethered myself from fear because I don't believe in man. I see this journey, this humanistic exploit. They want you to believe in man as the ultimate creator. As I said, when they made fun of me, science has become a religion. People will roll up their sleeves and inject things in their arm. If their God, the experts tell them to, they don't even, when their gut is screaming at them, no. That's the Holy Spirit screaming at you, don't do this, something does not add up. They will ignore it and set it aside because,
God forbid, they're called a conspiracy theorist.
No license plate. We've shown you stuff like this over and over. Check it out.
No police will pull me over. Here's an example right here.
I was going to go right, but I saw this cop, so we're going to go left. I'm going to follow him for a bit and see how he likes being followed.
So you need to understand, you're actually in the private when you're in your vehicle. And when you give them jurisdiction over you, that's the only reason why they have authority over you.
All right, here we go.
Once they know you're in the private, most officers who know will not engage.
Oh yeah, he's looking.
Because if they engage, they could be sued. A lawsuit is actually a complaint. And that's how the Constitution works. That's the real remedy of the Constitution. This is real. You can do this too, just to prove to yourself that it's real.
All right, I'm going to go in front of him now.
You need to go to secretcivics.com, and I try to tell you the best way I can how this works, for free.
There he is. Oh, I think I see some aggression in.
I'm just trying to wake everybody up to this. If we all take our power back, we can actually make a difference in the world, because with this power, you can actually change what's going on.
Yeah? No. Come on!
Go to secretcivics.com while you still can.
How are you doing?
Good.
Do you know this lady back here in the accident, or?
I don't answer questions.
Okay. Well, have a nice day, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Secretcivics.com. Learn free.